This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Well, we started looking at the topic of religious hypocrisy, popular discussion topic, and we saw that, look, any tightly defined group can demonise another group. I guess the real question we want to talk about is whether Christianity actually inspires this sort of attitude, whether it's part of the internal logic of believing in Christ that you'll demean the so-called outsider. Now, John, you mentioned at the end of our last discussion that Jesus' famous parable of the prodigal son held some answers. Tell us the story.
It's a great story. A father has two sons, Jesus said. The younger has the audacity to ask the father for his inheritance up front. He takes the money, sets off to a distant country, and there we're told he squandered his wealth in wild living. Incidentally, it's the medieval Latin word for squander, prodigalis, that gave us the expression.
I like a bit of late night Latin.
Prodigal son. Anyway, the son comes to his senses, returns home, and is lovingly received by the father, who throws a great big party for him. Okay, enter the older brother, who is furious at the father's mercy and refuses to join the party. Now, just as there are three characters in the story, there are three points Jesus is trying to make. Number one, he wants to define who the sinner really is. That's what the younger son is doing in the story. Then he wants to describe what God is like, which is what the father's doing in the story. And then he wants to critique the religion of his day, which is what the older brother represents.
Okay, yeah, I think I should read the last bit of the story, the bit that focuses on the older brother, because it really is pretty poignant. Let's read that. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." What's Jesus' point here, John?
Well, obviously this older brother represents the religious leaders in Jesus' audience, whom we were told were complaining that Jesus was eating meals with sinners. As such, Jesus' description of this older brother in the parable gives us a fascinating insight into what Jesus thought of religion. If you've ever wanted to know what Jesus thought of religion, here's his picture. You know, as he thought about giving us an image of religion, this is it. And I guess the first thing to notice is that the older brother is a killjoy. Right? There's a great big party going on. Dad's really happy the younger son's come back. Kill the fattened calf, etc., etc. And then we're told in that verse you read out, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. Right, so obviously he's a killjoy. And I've only recently noticed what seems to be a deliberate contrast in the Gospels between the parties and joy associated with Jesus and his disciples and the morbid grumbling of the religious leaders. So if you read through Luke's Gospel, or any of the Gospels actually, you see one of Jesus' favourite metaphors for the kingdom of God was a party, a great big feast.
A banquet
and so on. Jesus himself is invited to countless banquets and parties in the Gospel of Luke itself. And yet you see the Pharisees, on the other hand, constantly complaining, and so much so that by the time you get to Luke chapter 7, you get this slander from the religious leaders that says Jesus is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, which was not a compliment, right?
Saying Jesus was a party animal and he shouldn't have been.
Yeah, exactly.
Wasn't suited to a religious leader.
So when you get to the prodigal son parable in Luke's gospel, I think it's clear that Jesus is deliberately contrasting the joy associated with his vision of faith in the party thrown by the father, right? And the morbid outlook of religion, which is the grumbling of the older son. In other words, religion refuses to join the celebration that is true faith.
You said last time we were talking about this that when a person's religion is fundamentally about rules, then there's really going to be little joy in life. Just remind me why you think that.
Well, it's partly because you don't know if you've done enough to please God. If it's all about rules, how do you know if you've done enough, you've obeyed enough of the rules? And I think it's also partly because to the extent you think you have done enough rules to please God, you'll be complaining about all those horrible people that haven't done what you've done. So your whole life is going to be negative.
I think, unfortunately, that's the only sort of Christian that, you know, the new atheists like Christopher Hitchens and Michel Onfray and Dawkins have ever met. That joyless kind of Christian who, I mean, they seem to give that impression that in their writings that, you know, Christianity really is just morbid and life-denying and joy killing. Actually, I've got a quote here from Michel Onfray. He wrote the book The Atheist Manifesto. Listen to this. The religion of the one God espouses these impulses. It seeks to promote self-hatred to the detriment of the body, to discredit the intelligence, to despise the flesh, and to prize everything that stands in the way of a gratified subjectivity. Launched against others, it foments contempt.
It's great writing, I know, but I'm not going to deny that some Christians have been like that, and Michel Onfray's obviously bumped into church people like that, so there's no defence. But I would like to point out that this is the opposite of what Jesus actually taught. For Jesus, God's love, not rules, is at the centre. As a result, the basic experience of the true believer is going to be joy. I don't just mean, you know, happiness in the sort of trivial sense. I mean Christian joy that is a delight in the knowledge that at the centre of everything is not a bunch of regulations, but a party that is God's joyous celebration of humanity and of his embracing those who realize the need to return to him. That's the point, or at least one of the points, of the prodigal son parable.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.